We have Jeff Laslaffy from Montana Family Foundation. Thank you, Jeff, for joining us today.
Jan, it's my pleasure.
Okay. Well, some of our viewers might not be familiar with you or your work, Jeff, so if you just give us a little history, that'd be great.
You bet. Well, I started out my career in the legislature in the House of Representatives, and when I wound up, I was the Speaker Pro Tem of the House of Representatives. So I've been immersed in public policy for a long time. And after I left the House, I took the position of President of the Montana Family Foundation, which is it's a research education and advocacy organization that comes at life from a traditional Christian worldview, and we believe that that we need to do our best to shape public policy so that it works best for families and for kids, and so that's what we spend our time doing.
That's great. You have some materials to share with us today?
I do. You know, we're talking about education choice, and I just wanted to point out that the Montana Family Foundation did a survey. It's the most exhaustive survey on educational attitudes ever done in the state of Montana. And most surveys have, like the ones that you see in the IR, have about 600 respondents. This poll had 1,200 respondents, all likely voters. And we wanted to find out what the people in Montana were thinking about education. And what we found out was amazing. Some of it confirmed things that we thought. Other things that we found out were, you know, just things that we never would have thought in a million years. One of the things that we found out was it's not a partisan issue. Can you imagine that? Parents and kids, I mean, parents caring about their kids just crosses party lines. And so whether it's Republicans or Democrats or independents, all of them support school choice to the same exact degree, within 1 or 2 percentage points of each other. And so that was a real eye-opener for us.
Yeah.
So the other things that we figured out were the people of Montana want more choice in education than we have now. Right now in Montana, if you cannot afford to send your child to a private school or be able to stay home and homeschool that child, your only other option in the state of Montana is a traditional public school. And 20% of the kids that attend traditional public schools drop out. So we've got 20% of the kids out there for whom a traditional education doesn't work, and those kids don't have options. So what we're saying is public school works exceedingly well for the vast majority of kids that go there, and that's fine, but we want schools to work well for every child that's out there, and to make that happen, we need school choice.
Right. So what did you actually find out in your statistics?
Well,
how did it come out?
Well, several things. We found out, first of all, that education choice crosses party lines. So that's exciting for the legislators
to
know.
Sure.
We want all legislators to be on board on this. 90% of the people responded said that if they were given any choice in education that they wanted, 90% said that they would send their child to a school other than a traditional public school. 38% said private school, 28% said charter school, 18% said homeschool, and 7% said a virtual school. 90%, then the remaining 10% said a traditional public school. And so we realize that parents want to see choices, but they don't know how to get there. And a lot of times they can't afford to get there.
Sure.
And so we've
sure.
come up with an entire package, an array of school choices. In the last legislative session, we introduced 6 bills that would have changed the face of education in the state of Montana. And they made it a long way through the process.
Okay.
None of them actually passed. One of our bills was amended, excuse me, into another bill almost in its entirety. And what that will allow us to do is track kids better than we do now in terms of test scores. And the ultimate goal is that we would be able to grade the schools based on these test scores. So if we have a school out there that's just completely underperforming, parents will know about it. Right now, we label schools as, I don't know what it is. It's like performing and underperforming and marginally performing and submarginally performing. And nobody knows what any of this means. So the state of Florida a few years ago said, you know what, we're just going to give them a letter grade because everybody in school knows what a letter grade means. And if your child goes to an A school, you know what an A school is. And if they go to an F school, you know what an F school is. And as a parent, you'll be screaming at the schoolhouse doors for change if your school rates an F.
It's amazing that it's such a controversial subject because we all want our kids, or even if we don't have our own kids, our kids of our relatives, or we just want children in general to have the best, to have the choices, and to have the options. But it has become, not only in our state, but in other states, very controversial.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, the Montana Family Foundation first got into this because we had business leaders come to us, and these are people that own corporations on three and four continents. And they came to us and they said, we're based in Montana. We can find a better educated employee base in India than we can find in Montana right now. It's scaring us. If we don't begin to compete on a global level in terms of education, America's going to lose its edge. And we're seeing that in debates all across the United States. And we're realizing now that America has lagged behind. We've been sitting in this little fishbowl for a long time, and Montana looks at the scores of the other kids, you know, across the United States, and we say, well, we rank pretty well, you know, compared to kids in the United States. But then when you put us on a global scale and you find out that in math we're ranked, you know, 35 or 40th in the world, then all of a sudden the eyes, you know, the blinders come off, the eyes open up, and people say, my gosh, we need to make a change or we're going to lose our global competitive edge.
And what is the big hindrance? What's the biggest?
There's a few of them. You know, really and truly, the biggest hindrance to school reform is the teachers union. And there's teachers out there that deserve to be much better compensated than they are now, and they should get that compensation. There are teachers out there that should be fired. And the good teachers know who the bad teachers are. But the bad teachers are protected by the union, and it's, you know, it's like pulling teeth to get rid of a bad teacher. The teachers union president has said publicly, you know, the kids are not my concern. My union members are my concern. And that's true, and I don't have a problem with that. But somebody has to be the voice of the kids in this debate. And so we've taken on that role. We want to see options for kids and options for parents looking at their children that are just struggling and dropping out. And not only the dropout rate, I mean, we have a 20% dropout rate in Montana. On some of the Indian reservations, it's as high as 50%.
Mm-hmm.
And but the other side of that coin is the remediation rate. Of the children that go on to college, these are the ones that actually graduate
and
go on to college. Yeah. There's a remediation rate of 30% on average. 30% of the kids, when they get to college, have to take remedial courses just to catch up so they can start their normal, you know, their normal course load. And in some of the school districts around Montana and some of the counties, the remediation rate is approaching 70%.
Wow.
This is a crisis. We need to do something about
sure,
it.
Sure, sure. And we can do something here in Montana. We live in Montana. But there are statistics and court cases and things happening in other states that are quite interesting.
Absolutely. You know, you talked about the hindrances to school choice. And I mentioned the teachers union. But what the teachers union typically does is they put up roadblocks and barriers and say, you know, you can't do this because there's something in law that doesn't allow you to do it. And so we've tried for two sessions now, this will be our third, introducing a bill that creates tax credit scholarships for children that want to transfer from a public to a private school but can't afford to. And what this does is it allows corporations and individuals to donate money into a private nonprofit tax scholarship granting organization. They get a tax write-off for that, and then those dollars are divided up among kids that get a scholarship, and they take that those dollars and they go to a private school. Well, the teachers union has said you can't do that. It's not allowed under Montana's what we call the Blaine Amendment. And what the Blaine Amendment in Montana says is that you can't use public dollars for private religious school education is what it says. And so the teachers union is saying you can't do this, it's unconstitutional. So we had a case on point last year that came out of Arizona, and if it had been decided 3 weeks earlier, we would have gotten scholarships, tax credit scholarships through the Montana legislature. But it was a case on point where they looked at that question specifically, and the United States Supreme Court said it's absolutely constitutional. And so that was one example. Another one we just had was a voucher case. It was either out of Indiana or Oklahoma, where they implemented a voucher system. It was enjoined. The courts looked at it and said, nope, there's no problem. It doesn't violate the Blaine Amendment. We're going to let it go through. And so, you know, this is all public policy takes time, and that's fine.
Sure.
But
sure.
As they raise these arguments, the arguments keep being knocked down. And so I think we're going to see school choice, and we're going to see it soon, maybe as soon as the next session of the legislature.
Okay. Do you want to explain the voucher system a little bit more for our viewers that don't know about that?
Well, basically what a voucher system is, and they have this like in countries like Australia, basically they take the total amount of money spent on education, divide it by the number of kids that are out there. So every child gets, in Montana, it's pretty near $10,000 per year per child to educate them. They take those dollars and they give it to the parents and say, go out into the vast array of educational opportunities, possibilities, and go find the biggest bang for your buck. And so parents take that money and they go spend it on the education that they want, that they feel is best for their child. And if you think about that, we do that now, but we don't do it until the kids get to college. Why are people so excited about going to college? Because the first time in their entire life, they get to look at the wide array of choices and choose the venue that's best for them. And we think that should just be backed up and start earlier.
Sure. And that can happen with charter schools. In the families that I work with, I'm amazed. You know, some families don't even realize that we don't have charter schools in Montana. They actually assume that they just haven't pursued that option for whatever reason. It's not in their area. But they're literally unaware of the fact that we don't have it.
Right.
I come from Arizona. That's where my son went to school, his charter school, and it worked out great. And I love, again, the variety, as you're talking about, the choices.
Absolutely. And we don't have charter schools in Montana, and we're one of only 8 states left in the entire nation that don't. But we're going to see charter schools, and we're going to see them soon, and I'm predicting probably this session.
Oh, that's awesome. That is really, really exciting.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, the other choice is the virtual school choice.
Absolutely.
Up
and coming.
Let's talk about that.
You know, it's interesting. I keep saying that in Montana, we're educating our kids in the 21st century using a 19th century model. But it's really true. We are. Now you can go online and you can, if you want to learn physics, for example, you can go online and you can find a physics professor that happens to be a rocket scientist also at the Jet Propulsion Labs in Pasadena, California, and that person can teach you physics. And it doesn't, he can teach physics to anyone around the, you know, the whole world. Probably the best example that's out there right now is something called the Khan Academy.
Okay.
And basically this guy, Sol Khan, was an investment derivatives trader, I think, on Wall Street, and but happens to have multiple degrees, like from MIT and some other top colleges. And he had a niece that was having trouble in math. So he began tutoring her over Skype. And it went well, except that her schedule didn't mesh very well with his. And so finally he decided that he was going to record like 8 to 10 minute YouTube videos, and then she could watch them at her leisure. And all his other cousins started joining in. And so after a while, he was tutoring all of his cousins, but doing it through YouTube. Well, people started watching these videos, and they began saying, you know, we want more, we want more. And so now if you go to the Khan Academy website, and Bill Gates is now involved in this, they have over 2,000 videos online, everything from math and chemistry and biology. It's amazing, the course array. But in just particular in math, you can go from 1 plus 1 equals 2 all the way through vector calculus, nonstop, everything inclusive, and you can do it at your own pace. And his goal is that any child anywhere in the entire world, if they have access to the computer and the internet, should have access to the top quality education. And another neat thing about that is that the public schools have realized what a good idea this is. And so they're doing something called flipping the classroom. And they're doing this in California. Normally, when you and I went to school, the teacher would give us an assignment. We would take it home, and especially me with math. I was lousy at math. And so I'd go home, and if my parents weren't home to help me, I was lost. And I didn't get my homework done. Now what they do with the Khan Academy is, when you go home, you watch the video on that specific math concept, and when you go back to school the next day, you do the homework in class where the teacher is, so if you have trouble, the teacher's there to help you.
Oh, wow, that's
it's
great.
Novel, and it works wonderfully. And so it's a great mix of 21st century technology coming into a public classroom setting that can also be used for private schools, charter schools, and homeschools. Amazing.
It's great, great. And the point of all of this is we want each student to do what's best for them. We want the best education possible on an individual basis for each student. And your menu of choices really does outline how that's going to help each family. Because, you know, when a student is struggling, the whole family struggles.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And if the child does not get the education they need, it's going to mark them for life. The job that they can get. And so it's important that we do that. You said that you come from Arizona. Arizona has probably one of the best atmospheres for school choice in the entire nation. Anything you want in terms of school choice, you can get in Arizona. And after 20 years of that kind of school choice, 80% of the kids still go to a traditional public school. And so we need to make sure that the kids in the public schools are supported as well as the kids in all these other choices. The bottom line is, if we put parents in charge and let them go find the best education for their bang for their buck, the cream's going to rise to the top, and all those other models that are failing will be laid by the wayside.
Sure. So we get the individualized choices of whether we're basing a charter school on a disability or on a particular subject or a particular trade. There's all of that flexibility. And then if we implement the grading system of the public schools, parents, again, are in charge of how that goes. I really, really like that, knowing that your child is going to a school that's an A or an F based on their performance.
Right.
Let's stop putting it on the child and let the teachers be allowed to do the jobs that they want to do, that they need to do.
Absolutely. And the neat thing is, it doesn't cost hardly any money. You just look at the test scores and the school gets a letter grade. It's that simple. But getting that letter grade, in Florida where they do this, realtors now are waiting for those scores to come out because that's a big part of their selling ability. Mm-hmm. They want to be able to sell into neighborhoods with A schools. But we now have, because of school ratings, like they do now, the letter grades, we have kids in Florida in underperforming Hispanic schools that after 6 years are now outperforming their peers in Bel Air, California.
So it's really not a funding issue. That's not the main hindrance, is the funding.
Correct, correct. The main hindrance is the fact that that we have one model that we try to make every single child fit under. And if that child is a square peg and you're trying to cram him into a round hole, it's just not going to work. And so what we need are more options so everybody can get what they need.
What can our viewers do to increase these choices and to make this happen?
The biggest thing that they can do is to contact their legislator, because it all needs to start with enabling legislation at the Montana legislature. And so we just need to make sure that the legislators are on board. And we've seen a sea change in the last two sessions. We have legislators now. I had one legislator that's a union school teacher, Democrat senator, come up to me last session, and he said, you know what, you're going to get this. And he said, I don't think it'll be this session, but it's going to be pretty soon. You're going to get this. It's sweeping the U.S. like a tsunami, and it's going to come to Montana.
Oh, wow. This is really exciting.
It is.
Jeff, thank you for coming today. Thank you for all your hard work. We really, really appreciate everything you're doing, and we look forward to getting updates from you. So please call your legislator. That's the message here today. And please get excited about all the choices that are going to become available to you. Also, we would like to encourage you to vote for your school board, vote in your school board. A lot of people don't vote. Please get involved. Those elections are in May of every year. Thank you very much. See you next time. God bless you.